I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. Kicksville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We say hello and welcome to listeners at great radio stations like WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station. Also our friends at 98.9, The Rock, Kansas City's rock station, and 97.9, CPR Rocks in Biloxi, Mississippi. Our question, what did you buy on the cheap and good or bad? How did that work out? Spirit Airlines, well, they basically had a dead lady fly on the plane, didn't give her a blanket or anything to cover her up for a trip from Fort Lauderdale to Costa Rica. Basically, they just told the passengers, look, there's going to be a dead woman on here. You got to have to deal with it.
And again, we're trying to go through all the semantics of this. So it's enough that there is a corpse on the plane, but she did receive, 35 minutes of CPR?
Correct.
On the flight. It's a 2-hour, 51-minute flight. And one thing we do know is that should you have any waste inside of you, well, at the time of death, it leaves the inside, comes on the outside. So mm-hmm. We said, you know, it's not just sitting next to a dead body. It's if she does all the terrible stuff. It's not a guarantee that it will happen that instantly, but it's a long enough flight. So we didn't know. And Ted, you said, look, if that had happened, that would be part of the story. Now, we don't know, but this person makes a very good point. Person commented and made a strong point we didn't think about. So they were on this flight. This woman dies on the flight. They fly to their destination, and according to the story, they landed in Costa Rica, and Costa Rican law is you must deplane before they take the corpse out.
Right.
Okay. So this person, none of us thought about this, but they make a good point. Says, guys, regarding the old lady, think about the cabin depressurizing when you land and what's going to happen to grandma as the pressure changes.
Yeah.
I mean, so if she doesn't do it on the flight, man, like, look, your ears pop because the plane's going to land. She is dead and has no control of her bowels. I would think at that moment when you're coming for the landing, all that stuff's
also
gone.
You have to remember that she was in the front of the plane.
Mm.
So everybody that needed to deboard specifically early, she was supposed to be one of those people. Her family was waiting at the gate.
Oh.
The entire plane deboards, and then staff go in, and they bring Meemaw out. And Meemaw, who was supposed to be in Costa Rica enjoying whatever, is no longer there.
This just gets
but
worse.
But either way, we're talking about just, you know, the fact that Spirit is a discount airline.
Right.
We
understand. It is. Yeah. It is.
So what did you buy on the cheap, and good or bad? How did that work out? The 10 best cheap beers that money can buy. We've already talked about Rolling Rock, which is probably my least favorite on the list. Pabst Blue Ribbon, don't mind a PB. At all. National Bohemian.
Yeah.
Originally a Chesapeake, Maryland beer before expansion.
Wait, they've expanded?
Yeah, in the greater Baltimore area. You can find it in Virginia, yeah. Delaware, Pennsylvania.
I was going to say, it's all over. But if you go to the city of Baltimore, you're going to see a guy that looks like the one-eyed cousin of the Pringles mm-hmm. man. He looks like if the Pringles guy had a twin brother from Reno, that's what he looked like. But it is, the beer is god-awful.
But when you go back to Baltimore, don't you get yourself a Natty Bow?
No, but I buy any of their stuff. Really?
I'll get one.
I do,
one.
Yeah.
I always buy the local beer. I love it.
My cousin, man, he drinks them with Old Bay rims. You know, like a margarita has a salted rim?
That's pretty strong.
Old Bay the rim.
One thing I do know is that in the city of Baltimore, I was the last person to consume a glass. So Natty Bow stands for National Bohemia, of a Natty Bow Dark. They ceased to, and that beer was tremendous. It was as affordable. Actually, it was a buck less a pitcher than regular Natty Bow. And this was my go-to beer at the brokest I've been, barring homeless. But it's the brokest I've been. And I remember I go into the bar and get my Natty Bow dark, get my pitcher, because it never changed. And the bartender gives me this weird, like, sad look, like I have something horrible to tell you. And anyway, it was, hey, we're about halfway through the last keg of Natty Bow dark. I'm like, well, just order more. He goes, no, this is, like, they're done. They're not making it anymore. He actually saved the last pitcher for me.
Cool.
And it was
cool.
A sad, sad moment.
Miller High Life on the list of 10 best cheap beers out there, which is one of my favorites. Budweiser, nothing wrong with a Bud. Ted, you're probably the only one in here that might know this beer. Only found in the Northeast, this Pawtucket, Rhode Island-based brewer has slowly expanded distribution across the country. Right now, they are showing no signs of slowing down. They're selling a lot of beer, including a Shandy. But the true joy, they say, comes from working your way through a four-pack of Tall Boys. It tastes like cheap beer, and sometimes that's all you need. It's called Narragansett.
Huh.
Never heard of it?
I don't know that one.
That is a Northeastern beer.
I'll look for it.
Couple more. Another brewery that was eventually sold and is now contract brewed. This beer is a staple of the Pacific Northwest where it originated.
Rainier.
That's it. No frills with this beer. You get a crisp lager. Reminiscent of the ice-cold rivers that flow through the area. And the stylized R logo is one of the more memorable beer logos that you'll find adorning cans across country.
I do like a Rainier, man.
That's true.
I drink them all the time. All right, Steve, this is in your wheelhouse. While this brewing company produces numerous beers, the original Cream Ale is the standout. Winner of numerous beer awards is Cream Ale. It's a nice alternative to the cheap light lagers on the market thanks to a cross-sinning process, maybe?
Wait a minute. Listen. The Genesee River even runs through Rochester. So if you're listening on CMF, honest to God, can someone please tell me who it is that awarded Genesee?
I like a Cream Ale.
Really?
I love
the Cream Ale.
My dad, he has a buddy in the Boston area, and for some reason, they can get it there.
Cream.
I know it's a Rochester beer. They got it in Boston. He gets cases of it there because it's the one place he can find it. And when he drives back down, he puts four or five cases in his trunk, and that's what he has.
I'm out.
You're out?
Sorry, Genesee.
Yeah, listen.
Right. Like in Seattle, the only people you see drinking are homeless people.
And listen, no offense, Genesee. And I want you to understand, much like Natty Bo means a lot to me where I'm from, Genesee means a lot to me, but the beer is just not awesome.
This is the one I drink more of probably every week than any other beer on the list. Like many classic American beers, this was started by a German immigrant in the 1800s. While the brand has changed hands over the years and is currently produced by Miller Coors, the stuff in the can hasn't changed at all. Crisp and light.
Modelo.
It's about as easy drinking as they come. It's a wonderful
Miller
player
Lite?
In a Boilermaker. Hams.
Oh, hams.
You are the only person I know that drinks hams.
I drink hams all the time. That is my beer. That is my go-to.
But it's ham. That's what's so weird.
I put a lime in it. But I drink hams with a lime. That's my beer.
Hams with a lime?
Yes. I'm lying. It's not a Mexican beer.
Are you trying to class it up?
Yes, I am.
Are you trying to kill the taste?
Look, you know what?
You do that for bacteria.
But I put a lime in it because I like a lime in my beer.
Really?
And Tecate's next on the list, by the way, as far as putting a lime in the beer, as far as the
best
cheap beers the money can buy. But yeah, hams is the
with a lime
stuff.
Come on, man. It doesn't make it any fancier. You do like fruit in your beer. And listen,
I like a lime in a light pilsner. That's it.
It just. I don't know why it bugs me, but it just does. Like, I hate fruit in my beer. I hate when they stick to lime. Like, I don't want that.
When do you ever see me eat fruit?
I don't, but
this
every
time
we get a beer.
This is my one time to get some fruit in me. You know what
but
I mean?
But you don't eat the fruit.
I see you eat fruit.
It just
sits. And that doesn't count. Squeezing a little bit of lime juice in your beer doesn't. That's not eating fruit.
I'm at my recommended daily allowance of vitamin C.
Yep.
You a British sailor from the...
Speaking of the
18th
litter...
18th century?
And the liquor, this is good news for wine drinkers of all forms. The connoisseurs with sophisticated palates who drink 60-year-old bottles to taste all the different notes. And also those of us who just want to get drunk on large quantities from a jug or a box. The price of wine is continuing to drop, mainly because of a surplus of grapes in California.
All right.
One expert says right now we'll get the, quote, best wine retail value in 20 years. The low prices may even be for 3 years before they start to go up again. There is a surplus of grapes. And one of the things that they attribute to wine not being bought as much is the White Claw revolution. As far
really?
As, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, people drinking hard soda water?
People drinking
hard seltzers.
Seltzers. And traditionally where wine kind of was more favorable to female buyers, that you know, niche has kind of been knocked in, you know, as far as their
pieces of White Claw?
By White Claws.
I think a lot of people, too, it's not such an odd thing to go to a fancy restaurant and get a beer now.
It's not.
Like, it seemed like a while there, it was like you had to get wine if you went to a high-end restaurant or something.
I'm glad that that's changed, man. I'm really glad that's changed. I'm just not a big wine person. And when you go out for this nice dinner, you just want to enjoy it. And it's like, but I know what I'm going to get drink is going to suck from my perspective. But even then, if you want to save money when you drink, drink beer. Because everything else that I look at is more. If you got a mixed cocktail, it costs more. If you drink wine, it costs more. Like, man, so honestly, one of the most cost-effective ways of going to the bar, if your intention is to drink, of course, is to just drink beer.
Yep. Do you guys...
And you know what you're getting.
You know what you get, right? It doesn't change. It doesn't matter if it's a bad matter. Year. Yeah.
You can't do you care about how expensive the wine is?
The wine?
Like if you're going to buy wine, do you just buy like a bottle of just like house wine? That's normally what I buy if I need it.
Oh, if I'm buying wine like in my house?
I'm buying it on the cheap.
I will buy that. Or you know what? That's a lie. If I'm buying wine, I'm buying rosé.
Okay. All right.
Which is cheap.
Is there
right?
anything you buy on the cheap? Do you buy like, would you buy Admiral Nelson instead of Captain Morgan?
Champagne I'll buy on the cheap. Like if I have somebody right. coming over and we're going to go, I don't know, to an early sporting event and we're just going to have some mimosas at my house.
Yeah,
like,
right.
It's Cook's or Andre. Like, I don't care at that point.
Sure. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'm not going to go too fancy. I mean, look, the beers I mainly drink, you know, Rainiers, Miller Lights. I mean, I kind of already drink cheaper beers to begin with.
I'll spend money on liquor, but I know I like liquor. So I know what it is I want. I know the taste, but like wine, I don't know enough about it. My goal is to not drink it. So I'm going to spend as little as I possibly can without quite looking cheap. Like, if you say, hey, could you pick up a bottle of wine? Like, or if you want wine, and I mean this honestly, if you want wine, you should probably go pick it up. You do not want me.
I just don't know
because,
anything about it.
Because people just say wine. No one says, hey, can you pick up some whiskey? They will say, pick up Jack Daniels, pick up Johnny Walker, pick up Jim Beam. Like, people are specific. And I will spend my money there because I know what I want. It's not, hey, just bring tequila, because there's 8,000 different tequilas. I'm willing to spend my money there. I know wine. It's like, I don't know what I'm looking at. I'm buying the cheapest S they've got. Period.
Yeah.
Because you just said wine. Didn't say pick up so-and-so.
If somebody says pick up wine, I'll usually go minimum or medium range.
What's medium, though?
$20.
Oh, dang. I was thinking say 15. Like 15.
Yeah, okay. I would have cracked a little 10. Right.
Like $7 bottle of wine out there?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just off the bottom shelf, but it's not good.
Yeah, and you said wine. But also, like, you don't even know what you want.
Yeah, wine's so marked up. Like, I remember...
They all are, Ted.
Yeah, but I went to some wine tasting thing.
All right.
And everybody's like, oh, we're trying this specific red wine. And then the one that won turned out was a blend. They didn't know what they were drinking.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what the hell's
the
difference?
Yeah, I'm not going to spend a lot... You don't even know what you want me to get.
Our question, what did you buy on the cheap and good or bad? How did that work out? 844-999-OLA. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
What did you buy on the cheap? Good or bad? How did that work out? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Don. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hey, tequila and chiquitas, huh?
Hola. Don, what did you buy on the cheap?
Actually, I had this kind of snobbish, pseudo-intellectual cousin of mine, world traveler and all that stuff, and I picked up some, like, Scoresby scotch, you know, on real cheap, and I knew he was coming over, so I just poured it into a Chivas Regal bottle and poured him a glass, and he said, man, you can always tell good scotch.
Yes. I don't think that most people know what they're doing anyway.
In any
aspect of what you think you know, I don't think you know.
Certain things I just don't think you know. Like, scotch is so hot to me anyway.
Right.
I would not know a good one from a bad one.
You could say that this is the best lager in the world. And whatever that is, maybe it was one of the 10 beers we just mentioned that were cheap. If you tasted it, knowing that it was judged as, it could be Old Milwaukee. And you have it, and you're like, oh, man, this has got to be a Czech Pilsner, Belgium something. And you realize you're drinking Old Milwaukee.
I think there's one exception. Pabst Blue Ribbon. I mean, they put the blue ribbon on the can, and you're still kind of like, you know.
But he was
a participation ribbon.
But he was happy, right?
Yeah, he was. But, you know, one thing, if you got a minute, I used to every once in a while throw some beers in the freezer to get them cold, and I'd forget them, and they'd get froze solid. When my kids were young, I had them trained pretty well because I had this alky friend that had come over, and I'd say, hey, would you go and get Gary a beer? And they knew that they were kept, all the frozen beers that were flat and crappy and all that stuff. They knew just where to go and get those, and they always brought Gary a Gary beer.
That's good work, man.
He didn't care because it was a free beer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You betcha.
You know about, like, hot and cold?
What do you mean?
Because there was always that thing for years that, like, if a beer, like a can of beer got hot and cold and hot and cold, it was, like, skunked. But
I don't know if it's true, but I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I think they kind of disproved that over the years.
Okay.
Don, is there anything that you tend not to be cheap about? In other words, that you splurge on because you like it enough where you're like, this is worth the price point?
Oh, no. And, you know, my family. But like my wife says, you know, I'll pinch pennies and then go out and spend, you know, $300-$400 on a dinner for everybody.
Well, that's what I mean.
That's always a win.
Right.
You don't have to explain that away because they are the beneficiaries of all the money you save.
Yeah.
It's when you come home and you spend $300-$400 and no one else was included in this purchase.
And I don't know if this is like, you know, from a psychological standpoint, if you want to analyze it or not, but I think a lot of these inherent traits that we have are from growing up and our parents' own rules.
Yeah.
As far as what you were allowed to do as a child, like going out to dinner was such a special deal in my house because it never happened. Mm-hmm. But the rules were always the same. I couldn't order any kind of drinks. I always had to have water because that costs more money. That's how they get you. So my stepfather was very frugal.
He would not buy you soda.
No, not if we went out. No, we could go to pizza. I couldn't get a soda. We could, no matter what, I had to drink water the entire time. But I was so happy to be out that I didn't care.
Sure, because the pizza is the main thing.
And this leads back to the discussion that we were having earlier.
About soda.
About the soda and why I will not buy a 2-liter bottle of soda. And the reason that I don't is because the rules were quite simple. This 2-liter of soda has to last a few days. You can't go and drink the entire thing at once. If I did that, I was in trouble. But if I waited 2 to 3 days, then it tasted like ass and it was flat because it was in a 2-liter bottle.
Right.
You could put it in the refrigerator. You keep it on the counter. You could crush the top. You could pump it with a special cap. We'd had all that crap.
Right. Shake it up before you put the top on.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, as you said, Steve, then the 3-liter came. And that was even triple the problem.
Right. Because you kept opening it. You kept closing it. And that's the whole thing, right? If you drink too much at one time, and to be fair, as a parent, yeah, be on your kids about that. But still, it's like, look, maybe limit me to a can of soda, but when I open this thing, first of all, when you open a 2-liter bottle and you don't even get the,
you know it's
like,
done.
You just open it and nothing happens.
And you're like,
and then you just pour this liquid into a glass. There's no head. There's no foam. There's
2-liter bottles, for me, only work in two situations. Number one, they're good for parties.
Absolutely.
And then number two is, like, if it's just you as an adult, like,
right,
you would open and close it as much as, like, children were, right?
Sure.
So, like, I can keep a 2-liter of Sprite around for a few days because I'm only going to open, like,
because you're an adult.
Right. I'm going to pour one big cup and close it for the night.
So I hated it. And I promised myself. Like, I remember when I moved out, my parents were a little bit skeptical because you didn't really need to work. I was going to school at home.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, but I'm getting out of the house at 18 one way or another. I found a place we could all rent for $125 a month. So there were like five of us or four of us or whatever it was. We crammed ourselves into this 3-bedroom place, and it was $125 a month, which was not bad at all. But I remember my parents saying, we have a feeling you're going to regret this. You're probably going to come home. It's not as easy out there as you think it is. There'll be other expenses, blah, 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 blah. And I looked at them both, and I said, I will never drink another soda out of a 2-liter bottle.
Mm-hmm.
In my life, I will never buy one. I promise you, no matter what happens to me, I will never buy that crap again. That was the one thing that I had. Now, granted, if you're at Ted's Oscar party like we were, it's okay to get a 2-liter for the table. Get a Sprite.
This
get a
regular, is understood.
Get a for parties, they're great.
I'm talking about when you're...
Your money.
You're going to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
It's you. Like, absolutely not. I'm never being cheap on soda ever again. No Big K Cola, which I know you liked, or whatever the hell that crap is.
Who, me?
A generic soda. What'd you say, like Giant soda or something?
Because Coca-Cola made it. Coca-Cola hedged their bets that you'd be more embarrassed to open your fridge and have
not
Giant
the
was
cola.
The name of a grocery store on the East Coast. All right, so they had Giant Cola, like most grocery stores have their own brand. It was Coca Cola.
It's okay.
Coca Cola just put their but Coca Cola even knew, like, look, even though you can get this 2 liters of Coca Cola, they don't advertise this openly, but it's Coca Cola. But Coca Cola hedged their bets and said, look, our money says people would be more embarrassed to break out a 2-liter of giant brand cola and pour it for the friends, and you look better if it says Coca-Cola, they'll spend $2 extra. And they were right.
Well, I didn't care about what anyone saw. I just cared about the taste.
Sure.
And the fact that it's in a 2-liter and it's going to go flat in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what did you buy on the cheap, and good or bad? How did that work out? 844-999-OLA.
The only thing I swore I would not buy as an adult, and I have not, from the moment I moved out. And this isn't about saving money. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
I know what it is.
What?
I know what it is.
What? Go ahead and say.
I bet you $10. $10, I got this one.
$10. And, I mean, this is the one, and I have stayed true to this.
$10.
All right, $10. Go ahead.
Wheat bread.
You son of a bitch.
Yes,
how are you $10?
Yes,
I'm not doing
I'm killing it today.
It's just the one.
I'm killing it today.
Listen,
$30.
Some people like wheat bread. I'm glad you do. Every time I went to my buddy's house.
Oh, man, I'm buying beers and dinner on you guys tonight. This is great.
I owe you one.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, here's a weird one for you. Like, sweatshirts and, like, zip-up hoodies, I'll spend money on. But, like, sweatpants, I try to buy fashionable ones as cheap as I can.
Why not? You're just laying around. The ones you wear every night are from high school.
What's that?
The Champions. The ones that you've had since high school that you wear at night.
Oh, the shorts.
Yeah. I mean, those weren't expensive. They were just well made.
Sweatpants you could wear out now.
I know. So I'm glad we've turned the corner on that.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. But I'll spend a decent chunk on a hoodie up top. But underneath, I'm like, we'll get cheap.
Hat and shoes. Okay.
Yeah, hat and shoes, fine. I just don't want to pay too much for pants.
I heard a woman bitching a little while ago. There's a dude wearing sweatpants, but she was just like, I don't know when it became acceptable. I forgot just to go out and do everything in that bad or sweatpants. So you know you're wearing yoga pants, right? We're having this conversation.
Yeah.
You're wearing workout pants. Technically, that's what he's wearing. And neither of you are working out. Get it?
That's why if you go to Lululemon, they have sweatpants for guys.
Mm-hmm.
What did you buy on the cheap, and good or bad? How did that work out? 844-999-OLA. Also, Lululemon, not cheap.
No. Uh-oh.
Just so you know.
Here's my general thought. If it's generally a woman's shop and I know the name, I assume it's expensive. Like, if I've heard of this, I just assume it's a lot of money.
You're going to Sephora?
Is it Sephora or Sephora?
Sephora.
Okay,
Sephora.
Say again. I don't know. I just assume it's expensive.
I do. My kids kill me there.
Is it expensive?
I just can't believe how much stuff costs. I am out of
Sephora?
The loop, so it always just takes me for a loop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If you need to buy some time, though, that's a good one.
What's that? Oh, send it to Sephora and you do something.
Some cash, honey. Why don't you hit... I told you, that's what I used to do.
And sit in the bar.
Send it to Sephora, I'd go to the Red Robin.
Why don't you try some of these STD-free samples they have laying out for everyone to use?
That's why I give a shout-out to Nordstrom.
Special Jeremy Love.
They have a bar. Mm-hmm. We know why.
Oh, look, use chapstick. I'll try this guy.
Ooh, how does this look?
What if it was chapstick all lined up? Would you try that if everyone used it?
And it's so weird, man.
No.
Like, why are you trying that?
You don't know who put that on before you.
Hello.
Hello, Jess. Welcome to the men's room.
Jess, what did you buy on the cheap?
Well, I'll keep it short and sweet and everything like I promised Mike, but I just have to agree with Ted about the $15 wine. And also, fizzy water, like, I like to buy the big bottles, but it sucks when it goes flat. It's really not.
But how long do you get before it goes flat?
Well, I mean, like, when you get the liter, you know, the big container or whatever, you pretty much have to drink it all that same day. And I offer fizzy water over the... And, you know, if you're using, like cola for mixers and stuff like that, that's totally fine, because then, you know, you're going to at least be enjoying it while it's still fresh. But fizzy water, it's just a huge disappointment.
It's if you buy it a can... Well, you have a Soda Stream. Now, is that economically a better deal than...
Probably if I use it still.
Okay, all right.
Well, I opt for the cans, but I also go on the cheap when it comes to the cans. I don't get the LaCroix anymore because they started making all these weird flavors like coconut, lime, fizzy water. That has no business being a fizzy water.
The coconut one sucks. I poured one out today.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, is that
bubbly, cherry bubbly. That's the stuff right there.
Okay, so the black cherry, it's actually Polar Brand. That's the one that I've been getting.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and then I don't know if you guys play the McNopoly, or not McNopoly, but you know what I'm saying, like the
McNopoly.
UFC. Yeah, the thing with the little coupons and stuff like that, you can get like 10 cents off a whatever thing, a LaCroix or whatever, stuff like that. But sometimes you get like a free bagel or a donut, which is awesome.
Do you clip coupons?
What's wrong with coupons?
I don't think there's anything wrong with them. That's why I asked.
You're talking about free donuts.
That's one of the reasons I used to still pick up the Sunday newspaper, was because I knew when I was living in Baltimore that the price would be Weiss, because there was this place called Weiss, and they offered double coupons.
I know what you're talking about. about? Remember last time I called you, or last time I called in and played the big game and stuff, I told you guys I went to Harper Ferry, and there's that
thing
that you're talking about.
And the reason is this. I had two very young kids. I had a lot of bills going on. And for me, like, I would go and I would shop incredibly, incredibly frugally, but I'd still walk out of there and be like, $80. I walk and say, $80, right? And I've got two bags.
Right.
You know, before I had a whole cart of food and stuff, which was way different.
I've done pretty much everyone, because now the way they do it, you know, when you leave the grocery store, you flip your receipt over, and it's like, here's coupons for things we think you might be into, based on what you just bought.
I needed butter last night. It was $8 for four sticks of butter. Is that crazy?
Yes.
I think the place you're going to, no.
It's crazy, though. Still.
I think it is. Is it three letters?
Yes.
That's why.
Yeah. Right. Dude. But it's the same price at Whole Foods, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again.
Okay. You're talking about two of the highest end grocery stores.
Yeah.
My Maserati costs as much.
My house. Like anything else, I walk to the grocery store.
No, you know? I know. But honestly, like, look, if Whole Foods is the cheaper alternative, look, Whole Foods has great stuff. The problem is it costs a ridiculous amount of money.
I'm not buying my toilet paper there. Like another one, like Tide or Gain or whatever.
Do you have to have Tide or Gain? Okay, if I brought over a no-name laundry detergent, would it bother you?
Look, yes. I'll tell you how bad it would bother me. This is how bad it would bother me. I go and hang out, and I hope he's not listening, with my Uncle Bill at least once a year. And I stay for 4 or 5 days at his place, and it's great. But knowing that Uncle Bill, and I'm staying at his home, I don't overpack. I take like four shirts. I take like four pairs of underwear, even though I'm staying over a week, because he has a washer and dryer. Guess what he buys on the cheap?
Detergent.
He buys the Bounce sheets on the cheap. And
whoa, easy.
Not Bounce, just the generic version of those.
But you're hating on Bounce.
Bounce has become like Q-tip.
Bounce is like the upper end. You know what I mean? I prefer the Gain, but either way, in this world.
The Gain what, dryer sheets?
And it's less than all. You know what all is? It's like one step below all.
Right.
I used to use all for a while.
But it's one step below all.
All should have been called some.
Yeah, it's like less or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know what it is.
Snuggle got the call up last night.
It's terrible.
How is Snuggle? I've never used Snuggle.
I liked
Snuggle.
Him. I was happy. I was like, stuff smells fresh.
Tide is the smell. To me, Tide is what laundry detergents smell like.
Right, but Snuggle's, he's just there for the dryer.
For the finish.
Yeah,
he's a finishing move.
But I'm usually like a Bounce guy.
Bounce doesn't finish the way the Snuggle does.
Yeah,
Snuggle finishes like a
fabric. Does he cost more or less than Bounce?
It costs more, but it acts as a fabric softener.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It does cost more.
I believe they're in the same price point. They're in the higher price point.
Just saying. Like,
I will say, you're right about Tide. I only use Tide.
And it's stupid. Tide costs so much more than almost any of the rest. And I don't know that it works any better than
any
of
the rest. It's one of the most stolen products out there.
But when I smell it, I'm like, this is what clean clothes smell.
Isn't that the proof? It's one of the most stolen items out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that should tell you.
But
as far as what they lock up, you know what I mean? Like razors.
Because it's so expensive.
Exactly.
Honestly, if they lower the price one, people would stop stealing it. But we have it in our heads that it is the
superior. And you know this pod thing is a complete gimmick. I mean, if you just use liquid detergent, if you could, that would go a ton farther.
Yes.
And you'd be perfectly fine. These pods are smaller. They know what the hell they're doing. What did you buy on the cheap and good or bad? How did that work out? 844-999-OLA.
That said, I got two bags full of Tide Pods sitting at home.
So do I. I'll tell you, here's a weird one. Candles. I'm a Yankee guy.
You spend
additional, more money than you should on candles?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
They got the scents.
Dude, I know,
but the scents.
I can't even find. Do you know one of the hardest things to find now is a candle, not the tall, slender ones, but to find a candle that does not have a scent. Like when I was growing up, a candle was truly
just a candle.
Just illumination or to cover the smell of dad's stink when he went to the bathroom, right? Now, like, I just want a candle that doesn't smell like something.
I just don't want it to smell like food.
Right.
Like vanilla or anything like that you would pot. Strawberry. If you could eat it, I don't want it to smell like that. I want it to smell musky.
Musky?
I mean, man.
You want someone to walk in your house and say, man,
like soap on a
it
rope.
Smells musky in here.
You're looking for like a driftwood.
Yes, correct. Thank you.
Ask
maybe
the man
a,
who
maybe
knows.
A bourbon-inspired candle.
What does your house smell like? If you light a candle, what's
my bathroom usually isn't going to be like an apple pie or something.
See?
Apple and then pie. I switch the scents during the year. So we just got out of the like fir,
the pumpkin,
cinnamon tree smelling stuff.
Yeah,
we're getting into fresh linen.
No summer breeze.
You're an odd man.
Beach.
Well, but the candles aren't it.
No, but I respect your candle game.
Yeah,
okay.
I respect that you change them out for the appropriate.
You can't have a pumpkin spice candle in the middle of August. because you would never have a pumpkin latte when it's 100 degrees out.
That's why I just want a candle. It's not smelling anything.
You have to have ocean scent or ocean right. breeze, something to remind you that you should probably be on a beach somewhere.
Yeah, but what if you live, if you're in Kansas City? There's no beach there. I don't want my house to smell like a beach. There's nothing. Well, that doesn't
make
sense.
Maybe they have a barbecue candle. What did you buy on the cheap, and good or bad? How did that work out? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Adam. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Adam, what did you buy on the cheap?
So about 15 years ago, I worked for a gas station, and that location was going out of business. And so packs of cigarettes were 50 cents each. And so I bought cartons of cigarettes for $5. I had five cartons each of, like, Marlboro Lights, Camel Wides, Marlboro Light Menthols, Newports. I had like 10 cartons of Cools, and also cases of beer were $1 each. And so, I mean, I bought up Miller Lite cases like by the dozen.
So you look like the duty free at the airport.
How long did you have this stash? Did you hand it out to your friends? Did you keep it for yourself? Obviously, you probably had a party or two.
Well, definitely. We definitely kept the beer. Let's just say, I mean, I was definitely the guy with the cartons of cigarettes in the back of my car. For maybe only like a couple weeks, because I mean, my friends just jumped at that for sure.
What were you selling them back to them for?
Well, if they were my good friend, I'd sell them for like 15, 20 bucks. But if I didn't really know you, I mean, I sold a couple of cartons for like 35, 40 bucks.
Still a hell of a deal. Still half price.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, that's why they have duty for every time.
You also did it legally. You acquired all the stuff, you know, through legal means.
But you still can't sell it.
You can't resell it. But at least you say, well, I bought it. You know what I mean? Like,
right, you didn't steal
it. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely, I definitely purchased it through the store. Like, it wasn't like I purchased it bootleg or anything like that.
I got time out here. I got to ask. All right, I buy a pack of cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Somebody walks up to me on the street and says, hey, I need a cigarette or whatever. And I said, well, I just bought a pack of cigarettes. I'll sell it to you for 15 bucks. I can't take 15 bucks and give that guy the cigarettes I have?
I mean, legally, I don't think you can, but...
I mean, I don't...
The first time I ever would go through customs, I had gone to duty-free. As a smoker, I had three cartons of Marlboro Reds, I believe. Anyway, the agent walks up.
And why did you do that?
Well, I bought the... Well, that's the thing. So the agent walks up and he just says, he looks at the cigarettes, and I don't think it's any big deal. It has all the stamps, all the crap you need. But he said, what is your intent? And anytime I got to talk to someone on a federal level, I'm as literal as I can be, because I'm not always convinced of the brightest. But the guy says, what is your intent? I said, and I don't know how to answer this, because I don't understand what he's actually asking me. So I looked at him, and I said, well, traditionally, people smoke these, and that's what I'm going to do. And he looks at me, and I'm like, I don't know what you mean. I'm like, the cigarettes, dog. Like, I'm going to smoke. And he goes, oh, okay. He goes, no. What I'm asking you is, do you plan on reselling this? I was like, F no. So there's no effing chance. I said, I'm smoking every damn one of the. It's like, okay, I understand. But the point being, I guess that is a heavily illegal thing, because he knows I got a break on them. Right? I still bought them legally.
Right.
It's like one-third the cost, one-fourth the cost. But the idea is, once I get back in the States, God forbid I take one of these packs out of the cart and say, Miles, I'll sell you one for 12 bucks.
Because they're $2 a pack. And that's why if you go to Mexico, if you're not a cigarette smoker, you don't understand this, but you don't buy cigarettes ahead of time. If I were to go to Hawaii again, knowing what I know about that, and it's been 8-9 years, but...
Bring smokes
with you, because they're so expensive.
You're going to New York City.
If you go to Virginia... Smokes. Yeah, New York City. Bring smokes. Virginia, don't take anything. If you fly to Charlotte, don't take cigarettes.
You know, like when you land in Hawaii and they give you a lei?
Don't buy cigarettes.
If you land in North Carolina, they give you like a necklace made of cigarettes.
If you fly into New Orleans, do not buy cigarettes. You know where you need to take cigarettes to, and where you can come back with three or four, because you can buy them on the cheap.
That's right, life of a smoker.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional.
Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We head to north of the border to Canada. And they say in recent times, a string of marijuana companies has rushed to establish top-tier premium cannabis products on dispensary shelves. The belief that consumers, they would gravitate toward luxurious cannabis goods, much in the same way as craft beer and aged whiskey dominate a specific foothold within the spirits industry, right? So this would be especially true for older crowds and newcomers who would buy top-of-the-line weed to, try that brave new world of marijuana, right?
Yeah.
Some companies even believed a demand would exist for $100 grams. That is not happening. Since the Canadian cannabis market opened last summer, customers have gravitated toward cheap weed. And the high market value has completely lost its share. A number of these people were starting out with very high-priced goods. They've had to lower them to compete because Canadians at this point, they really just want some good cheap weed.
Do you think it'll be like the most people's odyssey through the alcohol world where you start cheap, right? Sometimes, because economically you're broke, you get used to the taste, and we liked all those cheap beers you're talking about. And then, I don't know, 15 years later, get a good job, you get a career, like, because it's kind of like buying booze.
I think it's more like wine. It's just the upsell and some of that stuff. It's just ridiculous.
Really?
And like, honestly, sometimes I just get annoyed. So I just go in, I'm like, here's what I want to pay. Here's what I'll take.
Okay. The cannabis consumer has spoken with their wallets, and what they want is affordable marijuana with high THC. And that's basically it. They want big highs and low costs. What did you buy on the cheap and good or bad? How did that work out? 844-999-OLA.
I mean, to state it like that, it makes complete sense. Real high, low cost.
Hey, look, man, what Rich and Royal can get you drunk just like Jack Daniels can.
I mean, is that why crack took off?
Right?
Doesn't cost a lot, but man, oh, man, he'd be out there. Hello, Raymond. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hola.
Raymond, what did you buy on the cheap?
Que pasa?
Yes, sir.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great. What did you get on the cheap, Raymond?
Well, back in the day, me and a buddy from high school, got the Mad Dog 2020. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Sure, of course
we've heard of
Boone's Farm Mad Dog.
$2.99. You get yourself a big old bottle of wine. Man, we had a good time.
Are you calling it wine?
A little hard.
I mean, well, it's fortified.
Fortified wine,
which means it's for the homeless. That's generally what fortified means.
It's got a lot of sugar in it. It comes in about 22% instead of 10.
Oh yeah, it's like evergreen Kool-Aid.
Well, I will say, I mean, look, I mean, early in my drinking career, yeah, we would buy Mad Dog, and again, for the price point, because you're going to save the money, but you drink different than, I feel like when you have roommates, you drink different than you do when you got to really start conserving your money. So the thing is, I would not buy a bottle of Mad Dog again. Well, until my kid is 20 years old and wants me to score one for him.
I equate it to shooters. I would never go into a place and go, we need 10 kamikaze shooters. We need 10 watermelon shooters. Not in the right environment, I would.
Sure.
You know what I mean? If we were in Austin, Texas, or we were in New Orleans or Miami.
But that was like the go-to move.
Exactly. We've got a bunch of people. Yeah, we'll do that. But the thing about that is the sugar. And Ted, I know you're a big fan of some of those bigger drinks that you can get in Vegas, or you can get in New Orleans, the kind of just the real big, tall.
Yeah.
They're cheap. They're not expensive at all. That's part of the deal. You get the vessel, you get the drink.
But I mean, also, you can take
an hour to drink it.
But you take it with you.
Yeah, and it's the places you're drinking
them. Right. Sure. If you just sat down to the bar, I don't think you're buying those because you don't want to drink the last an hour. But if you know, like, well, I'm going to wander through the entire French Quarter, and legally, I can carry this with me. Like, hell yeah, just give me one drink I can take around.
What did you buy on the cheap, and good or bad, how did that work out? 844-999-OLA.
Don't, on a bachelor party, though, tell people, I'm only drinking giant frozen drinks tonight.
Why?
Well, your night will end early.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Oh,
okay. And they were more than anxious to buy giant frozen drinks for me all night.
And the one thing that you have to remember is that there's only one road. It's not that you got to go home early. You're going to end up vomiting all night.
Right.
So it's not just the fact. It's puke night. And that's the last
puke one. Night.
You can have an upset stomach.
But it's puke night.
I can have the spins. I go to bed early. Man, when you're into that, you're going to have to puke.
But I will say, the last shooter I had with Mike was delicious. Tastes like a snickerdoodle.
Yeah.
Well, okay, then you got me. I mean, sorry, if it's going to taste like a snickerdoodle and it has booze in it, like, well, okay,
I could go
I'm
and
in.
Order White Russians all night and not get sick, but I'll just fart all night.
Yeah, it's a downside. Mm-hmm. Cream.
Yeah, exactly.
Just look on Ted's face like,
that's fine. That track just kind of skipped over.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a fart all night.
Well, it's like, you know,
what's with you and Kahlua?
Right.
I think it's the cream.
I think that actually, that was the first, actually, that's not true. The first alcoholic beverage I had was a shot of scotch. I did it jokingly because when I'm growing up, every movie you saw, the tough guy had a bad day, would get home and like pour a scotch. I'm at a hotel, and it's an outdoor bar, and me and the bartender, we're getting along, whatever. So he's setting up for the afternoon. So he's like, hey, man, how was your day? And I'm like, oh, it's been a rough day. I'll take a scotch. So he pours one. And so, keep in mind, there's no one else at the bar. He's setting up. And as I'm reaching my hand to grab this thing, he turns around, realizes that I'm going to do it. But I'm 14, 15, whatever. And he's about to do the, no, man. And I tip this thing up. It changed my life, and not in a good way, in that moment. I had never consumed anything where how your body reacted to it. Felt like someone took a match, lit my brain on fire, and then dropped napalm down my throat.
And then you wanted another one.
And now I drink.
What did you buy on the cheap, and good or bad? How did that work out? 844-999-OLA. More your calls in seconds.
OLA. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.